whoever doesn't want to listen, you're going to hear it anyway.
You're gonna hear it anyway. Hey, so tell us the feeling. I mean, you said all those things, and you're at that radio station when you're younger. You're going to school. I assume you're going to school there, but you don't have to in campus radio. So you do that. Hey, you go DJ some clubs or whatever, like on the side, and you get all those nice feelings of, I'm spinning my music. I enjoy. People are enjoying this. And then, do you go quiet for a while? Like, what made you stop doing that? Like, stop going on air?
Well, DJing in the bars, that's a new thing for me.
Is it?
And
Yeah.
that is only for the last year as well. I mean, Lou kind of pulled me into that last summer. But just responsibilities in life getting in the way. The show was just for my first year, and of course, you have workload and real life piling up and not as much time for hobbies, and you go through changes. Again, I was
For sure.
18 at the time, so still
Yeah.
finding myself and finding my place in my little world. So it was just something I pursued in other ways. The radio thing was always a passion of mine. I wanted to do it as a career, but then I realized, it wasn't the most lucrative career for myself to get involved in, because I'm taking these classes in school. And Lou will tell you too, actually, one of the first times I had contact with Lou, I was doing a project on Canadian radio for university, and I interviewed him for a paper that I was writing. And I interviewed Rick Taylor was part of
Sure,
it.
yeah.
Josie Dye, a friend of mine, she was a part of it. There was just a few people involved in the music scene or radio in one way or another. And the consensus was that it was generally pretty bleak. I don't want to say bleak because here we are today still doing it, but it takes a very specific niche of people to want to do that kind of thing and do it on the scale of a career. And I guess maybe at the time it just wasn't for me. I was
Right.
doing other avenues, but it was always just something I loved as a hobby and just never really had the platform until now again.
That's a fair assessment to say for you, like wanting to get into media in general. It evolves just like everything else. And that's what a lot of when I get younger people saying, hey, I want to get into radio, I want to get into that. I always say, it's not what you think. It's you really have to have a lot of passion to move ahead in regards to that. You're not just going to be the person on air. You have to learn how to write. You have to be comfortable in front of a camera. And this generation now is like, hey, let's do social media. I got to be on social media. I got to be a vlogger. I got to do all of these other assets to have all of this package. And it's still going to evolve. It's not like, we're years ago, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to be this person. And I'll have this job for a while. It's totally not like that now. So you got to have that passion. But your passion gets reignited, though, a year ago to going back on air. What was it like for you for that first time to doing the show again?
It was an amazing feeling. I think the most important aspect of it was having somebody that took a chance and believed in me without having any, there was no test spot or anything. Lou just kind of gave me the reins and had complete faith in me. And that was honestly all the motivation and inspiration I needed to get going again. And it was just as simple as somebody saying, here you go, It wasn't
Right.
something that I had to seek out myself. In fact, it wasn't even something I had considered, because how was I going to get involved again? I don't think I was really prepared for the work that was involved in starting my own show from scratch. I don't have the time commitment to do it every single week, like you guys do. But when Lou and I kind of got back on that music track again, we had a playlist that we were building together, and we put songs on it every day and realized we had a lot more in common musically than we thought. And he gave me this opportunity because he knew that I had a past in radio, and I did go to school for communications. So that part of it, public speaking, writing, and all that is my forte. That's what I do in my career and my day job. So it was a natural fit for me to translate that over to music again, because it's something I have ADHD, right? So you tend to hyper focus on things that you love, and
But
music is that thing.
yeah, I've listened to your shows, some of your shows. I've been skimming through some of them, and I've heard some from before. And what struck me right away was is that, I mean, you just said, the time that you guys that we had to do a show weekly. In our shows, it's, well, mine in particular, it's like interview, 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 what's going on around town.
Yeah.
that research is done. Like, it's not that hard on me to sit down and ask someone, you know, what's your band like, what are your roots are, that sort of thing. And then go, hey, this band's playing here, here, and here on these dates. Here's a sample of their music. Boom, mm-hmm. You're listening to Steel City Music.
Right.
You have to sit down and go, here's the style of music I'm playing this week.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the reason why I'm playing it. Oh, by the way, here's a tidbit story of this song. Here's a tidbit yeah. of this story. Oh, and then this branches into this. So when you say we have a show once a week, I swear to God, Lou and I do not put the amount of research you put in your show. And that's a compliment. It is, because I listen to your show and it's just like, you can hear it. You're like going, he did this on this date, da 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 da, which is really funny. But and you keep it light in the banter. You're like, I didn't even know what I'm talking about here, but 420 is like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then you go back into music, you know. So when you hear that, you go, well, here's someone who is like, likes what they're doing, giving a little bit of information. And there's a genuine reason why you're spinning that song.
Yeah.
You're letting the listener know. So there's that attachment, like that sort of like, oh, I connect with the show.
Right. Nothing is by accident. Nothing is coincidental on my show. Everything is premeditated. But honestly, it's having all that up in my brain and having no outlet for it. So having this outlet in a way to kind of unpack all these things that I like to do in my own spare time or free time, just reading about music and researching and learning. I'm a behind the scenes kind of gal, you know? So that is my approach to my show, especially is it's not enough for me to just hear a song and love it. I want to know everything about it.
And why it was written.
Yeah, exactly. To a fault sometimes, but there's just, it's like, I compare it to just pulling a thread on a sweater and you don't really realize how much unravels behind it. You pick away and you realize, oh, well, there's a whole ball of yarn here. And that's the history of music. And so much of what I listen to today was influenced by what I play on my show. And it's cyclical, right? There's just so much to talk about. There's so much history and it gives me endless content. And I don't see myself stopping anytime soon.
Hey, if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunner, and my special guest right now is Rachel Jones from Jones's Garage. You can hear her every second Wednesday.
Yeah, you got it.
Filling in for Lou on 93.3 CFMU, of course. But she also does Casbah Lounge every second Saturday as well, doing a live DJ set. And there's one that is happening on Saturday, June the 11th. And it's a one-year anniversary party that is going to happen. So having listened to your shows and the people who listen to your shows, there's a rock and roll thing. There's a soul vibe. And it goes on even from the Flying Burrito Brothers to all of this different styles of music within, I would say, from early 60s to almost 80s in a way of Americana. Like there's a lot going on there. Genre wise.
Yes. So
is that the specific style that you spin at the Casbah?
Typically what I play at the Casbah is more so the upbeat kind of rock, a lot of boogie rock, a lot of 70s dad rock, depending on what's in my vinyl collection at the time. You know, I only have so many records, so I kind of do a split between vinyl and digital. So I'll go back and forth. So I have a little bit more to pick from, but I will pick whatever I'm DJing that month. I'll pick songs from that episode that aired that same week that resonated with me and that I think would translate well into a club setting. But typically the radio show, my sweet spot is late 60s to mid 70s. Although I do say 60s, 70s and 80s, but that just happens to be kind of where I fall the most. But when I'm out in the club, it's more probably more 70s and 80s, I'd say.
Right.
Depending on the crowd. gotta please the crowd.
My favorite moments when I was doing a lot of live DJing is we'd be right into like this big mix and places going crazy. And I would always get, how come you're not playing Pantera? Really? Or my other favorite one is, but it's my birthday.
Oh, no.
But it's my birthday.
Yeah.
You're like, happy birthday. Here's a shot. Go away.
The best part about the pandemic is that I can have like a barrier around me and just use it as an excuse, like, hey, 6 feet apart, but really I just don't want your drunk ass up in my face.
Telling me about why, ask me why I'm not playing Pantera. Cause look at the room, guy. I know it's your first night out in the big town of Hamilton, but listen, we're not doing the Pantera. Take the truck drive.
Walk
back
on home, boy.
Back to Dunville. Okay, babe. So just one more question. It's a year long into this. Now, you know, because we did just say it's a lot of research that you put in your show. How do you feel now about where you want to take the show? Are you still going to just do like once a month on Lou's show, or is this something that you might want to pursue doing more shows, like twice a month, three times a month, like your own thing?
I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at right now. I have a lot of hobbies and extracurriculars in my life. So I can't take on too much, but I certainly do devote more time to this than by choice than anything else that I do in my life. But yeah, it's every month I come up with a new theme, and that's how I pick the music that I play. A lot of people ask, like, how do you know all the songs or what you're going to play? And honestly, it's a pretty simple hack. I know a lot of people slag on things like Spotify as being pretty evil. And to an extent, I agree. But honestly, without a lot of these streaming platforms, I wouldn't have the ability to have all of this at my fingertips the way that I do. I'm not working in music stores anymore. It's a dying art. Yeah. So where are you going to find your stuff? And from high school, even, the way I would find music is, do you remember that website, allmusic.com?
Yes, I do.
So that would be my holy grail. And I'd find a band that I liked, and there would be a section on there influenced by, sounds like, and followers of that band. So I would find a band that I like, you know, in high school, Primus or something like that. Who are they influenced by? And then I'd go through that web and then go, and then so forth and so on. And it would just be endless. So having that way of like digging and researching was kind of my foundation. And then every month I'll just pick a theme. So June's an easy one because it's my 1 year. So it's, I'm being a little selfish and just playing what I want. There's not really a particular theme, but for May, you know, it was, I'll kind of plan it around like the season or whatever holidays are happening in that month. So we had Mother's Day in May. So I had Mama, I'm Coming Home. So all songs that had to do with mother or traveling or being on the road and things like that. Yeah. July, I'm going to play all Canadian bands. August, I got to give love to the 80s. I don't play enough 80s on my show, but I was born in the 80s. My birthday is in August. So August is going to be an 80s only show. You know, there's I'm thinking ahead. And as I hit shuffle on my liked songs or whatever compilations I'm listening to, I'll just kind of keep my ear out for certain songs that might have a bit of that theme in it. And then I'll just build a huge playlist and whittle it down as the month goes on into what, 20, 21, 24 songs. And leave some room for talking and my anecdotes and some research, and boom, there you have it.
There you go, folks. Anyone can do this. Rachel just proved it.
Well, you know, you have to have some charisma as well.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And we all learned that from Lou. Hey, thanks for taking the time out for this, and have a really good time on Saturday, June 11th. It's the Jones Garage 1 year anniversary party. Happened at 306 King Street West. It's the Casbah. And also thanks for taking this time. And everyone tune into Jones Garage when it comes up every second.
It's Wednesday. Well, I hope to see you there.
You know what? If the gods are willing, I will be there.
Awesome. If I can't wait.
But you know, if you don't see a giant pasty bald man, then, you know, don't.
There's going to be a lot of bald men, but I'll save you a seat.
Not this pasty. No, not this white. I don't run in the rain. If you've seen the movie Powder, I don't run in the rain. It's terrifying. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Come on! Cheap Trick, House is Rockin' right there for you. Steel City Music, your host, Gunner, here on Indie 101.5 FM, and that was Rachel Jones. You can catch her every Wednesday from 1 p.m. No, that's my show. Stop it, Smith. Every second Wednesday, part of Lose Control on 93.3 CFMU. So there you go. And make sure you check her out June 11th, which is tomorrow over at the Casbah Patio, because she'll be spinning and celebrating her year-long anniversary. So there you go. Coming up by request, I got some klaxons I gotta get to, some TV on the radio. But right now, starting things off, You Get What You Give, New Radicals on Steel City Music. 5:33 and change right now. Gunner here. You're hanging out on Steel City Music, heard on Indie 101.5. No, yeah, Indie 101.5. Yeah, that's how you say that thing. There you go. Golden Scans with the track Klaxons by request. And also got a request for some TV on the radio, so I thought I'd spin Happy Idiot as well. And starting off that little set of music was You Gotta Get What You Give. The New Radicals, a great summer track. I always thought so in my brain anyway. Okay, so flipping over here as he looks at his laptop, as he's checking things out. Last we had a chat with Alex and John from Coda Facto. They have a new recorded a new EP. And I swear to God, I thought they went down to California to record it, but they actually recorded it up here with Carl Jennings. And they're just releasing the singles now. And the first one is available today. It's on all the streaming services, and it's called Hourglass. And you can go to Spotify Canada, of course, Amazon Music, Apple Music, that sort of thing, to track them down. You can go on Facebook to find out more about the band. Just type in Coda Facto, CodaFacto. So we had our old Zoom chat, did that. And what I really took away from all of this is that I really want Alex to go on TikTok and say, what do you think this tattoo is on my arm? Swear to God, it'd be the best TikTok ever, just for all what you think it is. I just, enough of that. Here's some Coda Facto for you on Steel City Music.
Yeah.
They're laughing already. Hey, you're tuning in to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunner. Pre-recorded chat via Zoom with two guys who like to just disappear off the planet. They just go. They leave. I don't know what happened to them. They're putting out music, EPs, and then I find out one of them moves to Toronto because the internet's better, and the other one just drops off the planet. It's Alex and Jonathan from Coda Facto. What's going on, guys?
We like to make a dramatic entrance.
That's what it is. Yeah. So the last time we chatted was 2001, I think. Yeah. Was it 2021? Sorry, the summertime, because it was 2001. I don't think cats were born, but 2021, you're wandering around Hamilton. People are filming you. It's like there's a rock and roll pop song. The EP comes out. I don't know. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Ode to Rose is another single. We spin that. We have a chat about that. And then nothing. I don't know nothing from nothing about you guys. So Alex sends me a message. He goes, hey, we got a new single. Like, hey, they're not gone. That's cool. So then, I do a little, the old internet creeping. And I'm seeing you guys styling. You're styling up. Some pictures of you guys, like, well, you're in California showing off tattoos and your tans. What's this all about?
No tan.
No? Well, you look for yourself. Having fun. So what happened?
Yeah, John's better for that.
So did you guys go down to the record? Was it a writing session? What's been going on?
No, we, John and I actually went down to California to see Paul McCartney play live in Los Angeles.
Crazy.
Yeah, so it was kind of on the bucket list of things to do. John actually had seen Paul before, I believe in Toronto, and wanted to see him. So
what year was the Paul McCartney, John? So what year did you go?
Oh, I can't remember the year, but it was definitely pre-COVID, maybe 5-6 years ago.
I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was at that show.
At the Scotiabank, or maybe it was called something
ACC,
different back then.
Yeah,
it was,
I
it
went
was
to
ACC
that.
Then. Yeah.
I didn't want to go. I had no interest in going. My wife's like, please, 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 please. Yeah. I don't want to go. And I went, and it was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. Almost 3 hours of him telling stories and singing hits.
Why did he not want to go?
Because, Alex, I'm a curmudgeoned old guy sometimes when it comes to music. We know this about each other. Like, I mean, we have these discussions. It's like, you know, it's like, because my background, when you go to see music, and I used to be, like, used to work with bands and everything, I'm too fixated on, why is he sitting over there? He should be behind that amp, because what if that thing breaks? He's got to be able to fix that on time. Why is this stage guy over there? He should be over there. Mm-hmm. I can't concentrate on the show. I just can't do it. But the show is fantastic. I loved every second of it. So I'm glad you guys went.
Yeah, we had a similar situation on my family's end, because my dad thought it'd be a great idea for, let's go do a family trip to see Paul McCartney. And we were like, okay, that sounds fine. and my mom was like really opposed to it. Like, my mom's from Malaysia, and she's like in any sort of media, she really likes to have closed captions. And so she, like, the idea of going to a concert and not having captions so she could know the English, was just something that she wasn't up for. But then we go to the concert. She's kicking and screaming the whole way, basically. And then we go and she's like, oh, my goodness. Hey, Jude, I love this song. And she's singing along the na-na-na-na-nas. And she's having a fantastic time, taking all the selfies afterwards. Being like, that was such a good thing. And we were all like, wow. We were like, you know, it went like, yeah, it was a fantastic experience. I was weeping through, like, when he brings up the ukulele to play something, that was just like a total highlight for me.
Right. That's fun. I'm so glad that you said that, because when you were talking about the ukulele, I was listening to the new track that you guys sent me. And that's what I was asking, like, did you go to California to record this? Was this, you know, like one of the situations where you're like, hey, let's put some money aside. We'll go down to this place, record at a studio, and we'll pick up the vibe off of that. And you just said ukulele. Did I not hear some ukulele in Hourglass, a new single?
You most certainly did, because, and it's, and it is related to this, because our producer, Carl Jennings from Freedom Train, he was definitely going through a ukulele phase, which actually maybe has never ended for him, but he was going through the ukulele phase, and we're like, what's going on with this whole ukulele thing? And he's telling us about his, like, theories about how all these Beatles songs were composed on the ukulele, talking about George, talking about Paul. So it is, you know, it's all these things start to come together.
That is a definite fanboy moment for him, because I mean, when you bring up the ukulele, George Harrison was a huge ukulele dude. And, you know, I mean, the three of us do not have George Harrison money, but I mean, as the story goes, Tom Petty and other people were like, he would just come by my house and he would just, like, he'd drive up and, like, George is here. And he's like, go out to him. And he's like, I have a ukulele. I want to play it for you, show you the, like, and Tom's like, well, you know, he's like, not that interested. And he goes, don't worry, I have two. And he brings ukuleles in the trunk, you know? So it's kind of like, oh, okay. This kind of makes sense, you know, but when someone gets all fanboy about something, they can't really pull back any, but that's weird though. It's not weird that Carl Jennings, because he's into the Beatles and the whole Freedom Train project, and they always do covers and their own material is very heavily influenced. But you teamed up with Carl on this. How many songs did you guys record?
Five. Six. Technically, yeah. So the last record we did with Carl as well. So that was five tracks, and that was Jamesville. And then on this project, we also recorded an additional five. This is the first of the five. And we'll be releasing them throughout the summer into the early fall. And once that's complete, we'll do the exact same thing again. Basically just continue. We've already started the next one.
Right. So is that, so just like a single, three or four singles off of this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one we'll do four singles, a little different from last time, but we'll do four singles. And then on November 25th will be when the final single releases as a package. So it'll be like an EP release, and it'll have the final song as what they call a focus track. So that'll be, so that's kind of the rollout timeline for that. So in between now and then, we'll have those five songs. So we're pretty excited about them. It's definitely, it was great working with them again on them. And yeah, it's a great experience overall, truly.
Well, you only sent me the Hourglass single because that's the one you got coming up. But is there a theme running through these songs, or is it just like sporadic like other albums?
Or we kind of... I would say that they're sort of theme. I would say that a lot of the songs do have some similarities in terms of the narrative, probably more than anything. The sound itself of each song is unique to each story. So rather than trying to kind of confine them all in, you know, one sound, we would go in similar to the last record. We would go in with the skeleton of the song, just the fundamentals on like an acoustic and a simple vocal. Track that, and then just ask, you know, what do we need to do to serve the song best? And then ultimately they each go in their own direction, and the similar sound or the thing that really brings them together is John and I, you know, my voice, John's violin, our harmonies, and ultimately Carl's bass too, because Carl's bass playing is, in my opinion, something that stands out in the first record, and it ultimately really does in the second, as I'll send you the other link later. I kind of just quickly wanted to send it to you because I realized I forgot to.
No, that's fine. No, just because sometimes I can only go by on the one song. So I'm like, okay, well then I guess we're just going to talk about this one song. And then it's like, if I hear the whole thing, I can go, okay, were you trying this, or just kind of lead you off into like a different questions, you know? So that's
well, it'll be interesting to hear your feedback on it or your perception of it. Cause this is the first one. And it is, I would say it's pretty different than the others. I kind of like that people won't have as much reference to the rest of the sound. I don't know, maybe that's just a me thing. I guess because last time with the last record, we tend to send it as a whole because we sat on it for quite a while.
But in your defense, that's that was an older songs. And you guys just did a year of, what was it, a year and a half prior to Strathcona where you were just a big band. Like there was a lot of members, there was a lot of opinions, there was a lot of influence and say, really. And then
we were growing really at that time,
but that was a very young band, you know, to be honest.
Absolutely.
So to break off, like to have that band sort of break up and you guys go on as a duo, that's kind of, there's that pressure thing where it's just like, okay, well, were we this band? Are we still carrying over the sound of Strathcona, or are we a new thing? And then you're like, okay, well, if we're a new thing, my God, what are we? Right. Cause we're still evolving. Is that a fair assessment?
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that's a fair perspective to have. I think from where I'm sitting, when we were working with the band before, it was actually quite a similar approach to what we're doing now. The songs, we did the same thing. We took the song, the foundation of it, and we just served it. We served the song. So some of the songs, even actually we did a song on this new record that we had actually performed with that band. And we worked on it together, and it's ultimately changed astronomically. But after going through it with Carl, but the feeling of it, the sound, it's all rooted there. It's very similar, so it's kind of been, like I said, it's a very similar process. So it's kind of like John and I have kind of always been who we are and done what we've done, and we did that with them too. So for us, I don't actually feel really any more on pressure, but of delivering these songs, because it's really just us, and that's what we've done with Hourglass. And with Hourglass is a great example of that, because we just went off and did it. And you know, we worked with new people and Carl, and yeah, it was written, and we felt really good about it. It was actually one of the only songs as of late that was new that we included, because a lot of the other songs and ones that we've done before were previous songs written, and older songs, I should say. And maybe now with everything going on with COVID and, you know, moving, and our focus has shifted slightly on just trying to make the best music we possibly can.
But before the interview started, you said, yeah, I'm living in Toronto, I'm doing this, blah, 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 blah now. And, and then, you know, Zoom froze up, of course, but it has to be a good feeling of renewed energy. Don't you think, Jonathan, that after this time that you and Alex, you know, coming out of the 2 year, just like everyone else has, you know, like you're releasing material, you kind of get that little zip back into you. We're like, okay, all right, we're back to where we are. We can do some shows. Maybe we can put together a little tour over the summer, that sort of thing. You must have, do you not have those feelings, or are you just like still stuck in that? I shouldn't say stuck, but like, okay, we'll just put it out and we'll just, you know.
No, we're very privileged to be part of this thing where, like, all of the performing arts are coming back out. And on the one hand, yes, that means there's a lot of new material coming out, but it's been a really great thing to see for other artists too. I mean, we were going to see, you know, like this hit Paul McCartney too. He was also off the stage for 2 years. And so we have this shared experience with Paul McCartney. What? Right. A number of people I've seen, I might've seen them before on other times, but they just had a new kick in their step because they've also been cooped up. So it is, for us, it is a breath of fresh air to just kind of come out of this. And there's, you know, we didn't really feel the pressure to be something that, you know, from before, or be something that had to be, but it has been a continual evolution, but there's still similar influences. it's interesting that we're also talking about, you know, our trip to LA, seeing Paul McCartney, because the influence of Paul McCartney, the Beatles, is right there in Hourglass. When Alex sent me his first voice demo, being like, "Hey, I'm watching the series with Rick Rubin and Paul McCartney on Disney Plus, the one, the 3-2-1, and he's talking about breaking down the songs." And Alex was watching that. We were both watching it, feeling pretty inspired, because when you see these tracks put into isolation, it's like, wow, you start to really understand the a little bit of the magic going on. And that was when Alex came up with the original guitar line for Hourglass.
Is it now? Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, I remember from the last album, you guys released two singles. This one here, Alex just said earlier, yeah, we're going to do four singles, that sort of thing, and then maybe the final, you know, the focus track. What are we? Where are we at with like finding grant sponsors for doing some videos for this next project? Because the last one I saw of you guys, I thought that was done really well. It just captured the moment and the essence of the song, and I like that. But now that everything's moving again, you've got to start doing the video thing. Have you guys found someone to do the videos? Will it be a different type of person? Is there a budget for it?
We've worked with Jesse Kachanka on a lot of our videos from the first record. He did Ode to Rose. He did Rock and Roll Sounds. And we definitely plan on working with him again on something for this next record. We've already started one with him, actually. We filmed some of the in-studio of making some of the music. And yeah, and I think actually, as you said, working with new people, we do have some friends we've just started working with. We just actually recorded a video recently of John and I playing Hourglass live, and we're pairing that with a nice video that they're going to make for us. Mm-hmm. Grants is definitely a thing. That was been, fortunately, with all the time that we had as everything was kind of halting with COVID, we got to research a lot more of the basis of the grants. And, you know, we had spoken to you. You had written a really nice letter for us. And we just spent a lot of time trying to figure out to navigate that, because it's quite complex, much more than I had realized. You know, you have Factor, you have Hamilton Arts Council, you have Ontario Arts Council. There's so many places to get money from, but then they all have their own kind of structure and requirements and restrictions and labeling. And it's a lot to navigate, especially when you're a young artist kind of starting out. But we definitely have been spending time on that. We've applied for some. We're going to hear about a few of them probably pretty soon. And yeah, we definitely, John and I have thought about, you know, more music videos, and they are expensive naturally. And if we are fortunate enough to receive some grant money, I'm sure that will go that direction.
You know, Alex, you know, I asked that question and we're both on the same mindset about, you know, there's a lot to navigate, but my God, man, if you have one friend who has really good thumbs on a phone and makes a stupid 20-second TikTok video of you and John, good Lord, it goes viral.
Yep.
Like, good. It's just ridiculous. So much planning and writing. Yeah, so much planning and writing and going and trying to find money to do all these things. And we chatted about it. Mm-hmm. If you find someone who can re-edit something really quick on a phone, you know, for TikTok, I'm just marveled by that.
It is pretty crazy, really, when you think about it, because I spent a little bit of time on TikTok in the pandemic when I was going a bit stir crazy. And it definitely helped alleviate some of that pressure of feeling like you weren't doing much. Right. It's that app in itself is so complex and finicky. I do see a lot of value in that platform, especially with what you said. Things can go viral just
with
in
me.
An hour.
Everyone
crazy,
says, "How
really.
Come you don't do one?" And I'm like, I don't know.
Yours would be hilarious, though. Yours would be funny.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, if I get on it, I'm always, you know what goes on with me? I'll tell you right now. When like I'll start to do one, I'm like going, uh-oh, what if this bugs them? Like, what if they take this the wrong way? So I'm like,
that could be a TikTok.
I know. And that's just it. But I'm just like, because that's, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to mature, Alex, as a person. I'm trying to I'm not making fun of everything all the time, though I am. It's part of my personality. But like, I couldn't just sit there and just make a 30-second, like, you know, of me joking about you guys and then putting it out there. And then all of a sudden it would kill me if people were like looking at the comments going, these guys suck. I was like, what do you want? No, that wasn't my, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't, like, I would never want to be the guy that, you know, opens you up to like the trolling of the internet, that sort of thing, right?
I mean, we're already
that's anxiety
open to that.
On my part.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't think that's the reason why you shouldn't do it, because, you know, for us, we are already doing that just by releasing music. You know, it's right. just another platform to express yourself. So, I mean, if you're openly out there doing these things, you're, you know, yeah. you're exposed. You're out there. It's yeah. not everyone's going to like what you do. Some people are going to love it. You just got to take it with stride. And
we're artists.
That.
We live in fantasy world, and right. trolls are part of fantasy world. Okay. Like, right. yeah. you know? So we got to take that with the unicorns and the, you know, the goblins and all that stuff. And, you know, if we can, that's, we're out there.
That's part of the game.
All right,
it's
fine.
Part
I'll,
of the game.
I'll put it out there right now. My wife calls me Dobby. Okay. From Harry Potter. She's like, Dobby, you're going to have to clean that stove today. I'm like a little house elf over here. All right. Throw that in your little TikTok
that could
video.
Be, that could be your handle. That could be your name on it.
Yeah, like Gunner isn't the worst thing I got going for me. Now I got Dobby. Awesome, yeah. Alex. That's yeah. awesome. I'm so glad you're really helping me in this conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're just tuning in to Steel City Music, it's Gunner, and I'm hanging out with Coda Facto, Jonathan, and Alex. And we were just going to be spinning the new song, Hourglass, coming up. Guys, how does everyone find out about more about you? Where do we go online?
Pretty much any of our social media. So, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The handle is at Coda Facto. We're going to be on, we already are on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Amazon, Apple. The song drops on June 10th. It's Hourglass. And yeah, we're super excited about the track. We hope everyone will enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Alex.
And this is John. We're from Coda Facto, and you're listening to Steel City Music.
Where are we going? A distant state of mind. Do we ignore the signs in front of our eyes? It's only a matter of time. Why are we tearing our wondrous world apart? Why is it hard to see?
Yeah. listening to Steel City Music.
5:58 and change right now. Steel City Music, your host, Gunner here, Hourglass from Cofacto. On the way to Carps. Pulling some music from the vault, really. But right now, Winter Sleep, Black Camera. We're hanging out with Gunner on Indie 101.5.
Have a sacks full of money, mate. Good afternoon, Philadelphia. We are the Carps. We've come all the way from snowy Toronto to be here with you today. And it costs us an arm and a leg to get down here and gas because of your president. Ladies and gentlemen, stand away from your speakers. Please, please, I beg you. This might be the rawest thing you've ever heard. This next song goes out to Condoleezza Rice and John Kerchan.